Paul Vallas is here. You probably know his name. If you live in Chicago, you must. A former Chicago mayoral candidate, former superintendent of Chicago Public Schools, and involved with the Coalition Now for Equitable Vaccinations. The journalist in me, Paul, says thank you very much because I still like to get things first before anyone else. So I appreciate you sharing it with us first. What are you sharing? What is the Coalition for Equitable Vaccinations?
Well, over the last five or six weeks, a number of physicians, educators, as well as a number of local community-based organizations like the Alternative Schools Coalition or the Healthy Hood Program that was founded by Emma Lozano and Slim Coleman, we've been actually meeting and Zooming and talking about how we can develop a strategy that can assist both the state and city in increasing the number of vaccinations and making it easier for people to access vaccinations in their local communities. The idea here is really to develop a pod model, which we have in fact developed, and to allow these pods or these vaccination pods to be to be placed in schools or community-based organizations or, for that matter, churches.
Well, I think what you say there is key for a variety of different reasons. First of all, you're providing many people vaccinations all at once. We need to do that. But in addition, there's a confidence level. If the vaccinations are given in a place that the community respects, such as a church, or the school itself maybe can provide vaccinations. And I know this pod idea is very much a part of what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And the objective here is to put the pod out there, have it backed and supported by a number of community-based organizations, as well as the Chicago Medical Society. I said Illinois Medical Society. I misspoke. The Chicago Medical Society. And then, of course, schools or community-based organizations could opt in. They would provide their sites. They would become part of a pod inventory. And then, of course, there are entities out there that already have the ability to do this, go in to assess and evaluate the site. And then there are other providers out there who can come in and actually manage the administration and the dispensing and the tracking and the monitoring of the vaccines. You know, let me point out that, you know, Dale, you called me this morning and you asked me about Florida. How come Florida seems to be so far ahead of us, or Indiana, or there are many other states that are vaccinating at a much more rapid pace? Channel 7 had a story on Friday that basically said less than 45% of the doses the state has received have been administered. I think that's terrible. But I talked to a number of physicians over at Rush, who I know, who basically told me that people are flying to Florida to get vaccinated. In fact, people from Canada are flying to Florida to be vaccinated because Florida is not requiring that people be residents in order to be vaccinated. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Why are we so behind? So at the end of the day, it's important to get this vaccination out. And there are many communities that are going to people are going to be reluctant to come and be vaccinated in the first place, particularly in the Latino community where there's a lot of suspicion about government. Not everybody has access. Not everybody's going to go to a Walgreens or a CVS or go to these armories, these two armories where the governor is setting up these max vaccination sites. Going to the local school or going to your local faith-based institution, you may be much more comfortable, much more relaxed. And I just think it's a way to not only have the infrastructure to do more vaccinations on a much more massive scale, but also to give the community a comfort level.
And part of the purpose of this is to get kids in school. And I know you feel very strongly about that, and you will answer that in a second. But before you do, I also want to ask you, it's not only about vaccinating not only the teachers, but the entire staffs of schools, but it's also about testing. If we could test more often, we can stay on top of things. So from there, go ahead. I'm sure you will.
Well, look, you know, I always felt that, and I blogged on this, God, back in May and June about giving all schools the capacity to do testing at the local level. There's no reason. In fact, CORE, which is an organization founded by Sean Penn, and I'm on the board of CORE. We've been doing vaccinations across the nation since May. I think we vaccinated more than 1 million people, and I saw that model as a model that schools could adapt. And so there's no reason why schools, with all the additional COVID money they've received, and let me point out that the Chicago Public Schools not only got $205 million last year, but they got $720 million in additional money in this last COVID relief bill, and they will get $1.5 billion more in the current bill that Biden is pushing if the Biden proposal is embraced and passed. So there's no reason why you can't have testing, and there's no reason why in every community you can't have sites, select sites, not every school, but you can't have select sites that the community knows and is comfortable with, like a school or a local faith-based organization where you could have site-based, you could have basically local vaccinations. I think the community would, you'd be able to reach more people faster, and I think people would be much more comfortable.
So right now in Uptown, I don't recall the name of the school, but there is an outbreak there. They consider it as such. I don't remember the number of employees, mostly teachers, if not all teachers, I believe, that are out because of COVID. Either they have it or have tested positive for it anyway. Can that be avoided?
Well, look, anything you can do to have more vaccination sites and then simply prioritizing getting the vaccinations out. I talked to another physician from Rush who told me that Rush has more doses than they're administering because what? There are restrictions on who they can vaccinate first. You see what I mean?
No, because so the CDC said a couple of days ago that these are recommendations. They are not
right.
Restrictions. So therefore, they're not paying attention at wherever you're talking to.
Exactly. And what we're doing, Steve, is we're doing the same thing that we did with the business closures. You know, we're basically setting out this kind of protocol or this template that is so confining and so restricting, there's absolutely no flexibility. And let's hope we do a hell of a lot better job distributing this vaccination and getting it out than we did at, in effect, managing the COVID mitigations, which, in effect, have wiped out about two-thirds of our service industries, particularly our bars and restaurants. So at the end of the day, there's no excuse for Indiana or Florida or many of these other states to be so far ahead where they've gone beyond, you know, they're literally vaccinating or making the vaccines available to most people, and they're getting the vaccines out the door as quickly as they're getting them in the door. And so, this is going to be a big test for both the mayor and Pritzker to manage this a lot better than they manage the economy.
So have you reached out to Governor Pritzker and tried to?
Oh, no, you know, I'm working through the coalition and through individuals who are part of the Chicago Medical Society, so they can. They can do the selling. The idea here is to offer solutions, and hopefully people out there will give those solutions some consideration.
All right, so
but
we talked
approach,
we talked about a
ahead,
lot,
sorry.
Paul. That's okay. I'm just short on time here. So we talked about a lot. Give me the soundbite, if you will, literally for our newsroom. Coalition for Equitable Vaccinations. In 20 seconds, what's the news here? What is going to change, or at least what do you hope will change?
Well, what I hope to change is for people to adopt a strategy that realizes that there are many, many places within the communities where the vaccinations can be dispensed, places that people are going to be comfortable to go to, and places that can reach communities that are often neglected and often left by the wayside. And the schools and community-based centers like faith-based organizations, there's no reason why they can't become part of the vaccination delivery system. It would be a way to reach these communities, and it would be a way to accelerate the process of getting as many people vaccinated as we possibly can, as quickly as we possibly can.
All right. So while I've got you on the phone, and literally, Paul, in 30 seconds or less. Are you? I know it's hard to do. Are you concerned about violence happening as a result of everything that's gone on? Violence happening at our state capitol as well as in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, I am concerned, which is why we need to be prepared. I mean, how they didn't have the Capitol building rimmed with National Guardsmen or, well, obviously we know why, basically Trump. I mean, how we didn't have federal agencies deploy their safety and security resources to the Capitol when you were going to have that large march. That large gathering of individuals for the Trump speech, the Trump speech that pretty much incited the violence or gave many the excuse to take violent actions against the governor. Against the government. That was just sheer negligence. So I believe that both the state and the city are taking steps to be prepared. There's no. Look, we were caught exposed when we had the riots in May and the riots in August. We cannot be caught exposed this time around. So the best way to deter violence is to be prepared to deal with it and to deal aggressively with it when it occurs.
All right, perfect. Your 30 seconds is what the clock says is a minute and a half, but that's okay.
I know.
Paul Vallis, always good to talk to you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.